Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Well, it's good to be here tonight, isn't it? We are going to open with a prayer, and then we are going to get started with our worship service. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this night, thanking Thee, O God, for Thy goodness, thanking Thee, O God, for Thy promise, for we know, O God, that Thou hast promised to be here with us this night, and we embrace that promise, O God, and I pray that we would feel Thy presence, feel Thy Spirit, feel Thy touch here tonight. I pray, O God, that there would be a great move of Thy Spirit, a great move of the Holy Ghost here tonight. I pray, O God, that we would all draw nigh to Thee and reach out to Thee here, and be in Thy presence and do Thy will, Lord. I pray that Thou would lead, guide, and direct us in each and everything that we do. Let Thy perfect will be done. And I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, we are going to start with number 15 in the chorus book tonight. The windows of heaven are open. Number 15. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. I gave Him my number 115. That's a chorus we all know well. I will enter His gates. Number 115. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice for He hath made me glad. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving. Be glad knowing that He has saved us. Praise God. Let's turn to number 42 and sing, "Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul." Number 42. And sing, "Heavenly Father, I appreciate You." Number 141.
Thank you.
God, hallelujah. Oh, yes, He has done so much for us, hasn't He? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we are going to turn now to number 62 and sing Thank You, Lord. Not to be confused with the chorus we just sang moments ago. This is another one with a similar title, but number 62. Have so much to be thankful for His salvation, for what He has done for us. And one fine day we're going to bow before the Lord Jesus at that throne, and you know we're going to do so in such gratitude. We're going to be so thankful. We are going to proclaim that He is Lord. So let's turn to number 72 and sing for He is Lord, number 72.
Lord, He is Lord.
going to be such a privilege to do that, to bow before him. Praise God. We're going to turn now to number 130 and sing He's My Lord and My God, number 130. That we know who our God is.
Amen. Praise you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus. Well, we are going to take up the collection now. Praise God. Father in heaven, we thank you this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank you, O God, for thy great mercy towards us, for thy love and thy care towards us. We thank you, O God, that thou hast been with us for so many years. And I pray, Lord, that thou would continue to lead, guide, and direct us in all things, for we need thee so much. We would be completely lost and helpless without thee, but we thank thee for thy promises. We thank thee, O God, for the promise that thou art with us, even unto the end of the world. And I pray, Lord, that thou would continue to lead us, give us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used for thy purpose, for thy glory, for we know that these funds belong to thee. And I pray, O God, that thou would bless the givers here this night, and also bless those who are unable to give. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. We are going to sing one more chorus before we turn it over to Shirley. And that chorus that we're going to turn to now is number 169. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Number 169. Sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. God. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Well, we are going to turn it over to Shirley and see what the Lord has laid on her heart tonight. And by the way, it's her birthday tomorrow, so happy birthday. We appreciate all that you do. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I am glad to be here tonight. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Things of the world don't satisfy the soul. You know, and we're so privileged to have something that's real, that's genuine. You know, we don't just sing for the moment. It's for all eternity. And, you know, we've got something that isn't just fleeting. But again, it's for eternity. And wow, praise the Lord, we are blessed. So many are in ignorance. So many walk there not knowing how to think and, you know, what to do and where to go. And, you know, just looking at, you know, the things that are carnal, you know, to satisfy the soul. But, you know, God has given us His Word and He's given us something deep, something to hold on to. And, you know, it just gets, after a while, you know, the things of this world are so fleeting. And, you know, it just don't much matter anymore. You know, a lot of the odds and ends in this world. And, you know, it's just so wonderful to have something that's more deep, that's solid, you know, that we can stand on and realize, you know, we're serving a God that's mighty. And He, you know, what He has said, He means, and His promises are yea and amen. You know, everything else is so fleeting, so changeable. You know, we could buy it today, and it could be broken tomorrow. You just never know, you know, or, you know, maybe somebody would steal it or take it or whatever all. God knows, but, you know, we've got the eternal things, and that's really what matters. You know, I'll tell you what, life passes so quickly anyway. You know, I remember my dad saying that, you know, he talked about his youth, and, you know, it was like it was yesterday, and we were saying, okay, Dad, yeah, you know, but I think I kind of realized a little bit more what he was talking about, because I'll tell you what, it wasn't that long ago when I was 8 years old. Sure doesn't seem like it anyway, but praise the Lord. No, God is good, and He's with His people. You know, I know there's all kinds of horrendous things going on in this world, and you know, Brother Tim called me last night and told me that he had heard that there's a Catholic church in Milwaukee, and it was just recent. The priest got up and confessed to the congregation that he was homosexual. You heard it, Diane? Yeah, and they gave him a standing ovation. I'll tell you what, that is sick. That is sick. You know, I know the Catholic Church is mother of harlots, but I'll tell you what, still, you would think there were people that would have more sense than that, and more fear of God than that. But I'll tell you what, that just shows us where we are in time. Oh, we're, you know, getting down there. He's going to come one of these days. And, you know, I've been doing a lot of studying lately. I've just been going over this chapter and that chapter, pondering some things that, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things that we're not going to know until the time is upon us, I think. And, you know, I just, it's in my heart, you know, Lord, when, you know, what is this, you know, and the things that, you know, are unraveling in front of our eyes. You know, I don't think it was, you know, something, you know, I think God is in charge of affairs of this world. And I don't think, you know, our president, President Trump, made that statement that, you know, he was going to recognize Jerusalem as the capital city of the Israeli state, there's something behind that. You know, it's you know, he just didn't impulsively do that of his own, you know, intuition, but there's something more to it. And I see how the Lord, he's got the players in place, and he knows the end from the beginning, and, there, you know, he's making it happen. It's all happening to fulfill his will, and, you know, that's where we are. I know we've got to pay attention, because he's going to come one of these days and not tarry. You know, are we going to be able to stand in his sight? Are we going to be able to hear him say, well done? I mean, that's the challenge. Right now we're challenged. Oh, yes, we've got work to do. You know, it's not over yet. He hasn't, you know, he hasn't called the end yet. The harvest is not complete. So there's work for us to be done. There's work for us to do. There's work to be done. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray right now and ask the Lord to be here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can put our hope, our trust in Thee, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord, that, oh, God, Thou art the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord. Oh, God, we can rest in Thy promises, Lord. We know that they are yea and amen. Lord, other things may be falling apart, Lord. But, oh, God, Thou art true. And, oh, God, we know, oh, God, that what Thou hast said, oh, yes, Thou hast meant it. And Thou, that will come to pass. And, oh, Lord, we ask, oh, Lord, that You'd help us here tonight, Lord, that, oh, God, You'd quicken us. That You'd make us alive in the Holy Ghost, Lord. I pray that Your fire would fall upon us, Lord, that Thy zeal would come upon us, Lord. Oh, God, that You give us a burden to see and to understand the things that are at hand, oh, Lord. And we can know, Lord, oh, God, and that we can realize, oh, Lord, do Thy will, Lord. Oh, God, that we might be that wise and faithful servant, oh, Lord, that, oh, Lord, You can show Your approval on, Lord. I pray that You'd help us here tonight, that You'd bind this strong man. Oh, God, I pray that You'd talk to our hearts, that You'd get us ready, Lord. I pray, oh, Lord, that You'd help, oh, Lord, those that have great needs, Lord. You know the needs of Your people, Lord. And I just pray, oh, God, that You'd make a way, Lord. Oh, God, I know, Lord, Lori asked that I would pray for her son, Lord. I said, oh, Lord, that He would get that job if it be according to Thy will. And I pray, oh, God, that You'd bring it to pass, Lord. Oh, God, against all contrariness, Lord, if that is Thy will, Lord, that, oh, God, He would get that job. We just bring it to You, Lord. And, God, I just pray also for Barb Digger, Lord. I pray that You touch her, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that You'd help her, Lord. And that, oh, God, that You would do a miracle, Lord. And I pray, oh, God, that, oh, Lord, and You'd help, oh, Lord, all those drugs to wear off in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, from that surgery, Lord. And I pray, oh, God, that You'd give her a complete recovery in Jesus' name, Lord. Oh, God, that You'd be coherent, be able to think, Lord, that her mind would come back. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, rebuke the devil and all his cunning and all his devices. We ask in Jesus' name that You would do this, Lord. And, oh, God, You know the other needs of Your people, Lord. Bring them to You and ask, oh, Lord, for Thy favor. Oh, Lord, and for that faith, Lord. Oh, God, to draw nigh, to believe You, Lord. To stand on Thy promises, Lord. You know the needs of Your children. Oh, God, here and far, Lord. Oh, God, You know us as individuals. We thank You, Lord, and praise You, God. We ask, oh, Lord, that You have Your way with this message. Oh, Lord, that You'd use it for Your name's sake and for Your glory, Lord. Oh, God, that You'd stir our hearts. Oh, God, that You'd help us to draw nigh to You and do Your work, oh, Lord. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. Oh, God, that we could indeed be that faithful servant, oh, Lord, that is found occupying until You come and doing Your will. Oh, we thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. I thought I was going to go in another direction tonight, and then I got a phone call, and everything began to change. Oh, it's amazing sometimes. But I'm going to call this, Ye Are My Witnesses. Ye Are My Witnesses. We're going to go to Isaiah 43. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord. Oh, Jesus, help us, Lord. Oh, we're in such a time. We need the Lord. praise the Lord. Let's start at the first verse here in Isaiah chapter 43. Praise the Lord. But now, thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to stop there a minute. And you know, it's so full of faith, this portion of Scripture. And, you know, we just see how our Savior has such a love for his people. And, you know, it's amazing there in the very first verse how he begins to say, he's talking to us. He's talking to his people, his creation. He said, I created thee, O Jacob. He's talking about the people of the Lord. And, you know, he's telling, he that formed us, he that created us, he's saying, fear not. And what comforting words those are. Fear not. And then it says, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. And I think it's so beautiful how we all are called personally. You know, it doesn't depend upon our heritage, our background, our finances, our occupation. None of that is what matters. There's a call that the Lord brings forth. And it's a personal call to us as individuals so that he can be, to each of us, our Lord and our God and not a stranger. But praise the Lord, he made a way that we could be redeemed. And he called us one by one by our names and saying, thou art mine. And then that beautiful second verse, oh my, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. I'll tell you what, you know, there's great reassurance in these words because God is talking about the trials of life, things that come to hinder us, but yet there's knowledge that he is always with us and he's going to be with us no matter if we're going through the waters or if we're going through the rivers or, you know, even through the fires, that he is with us. And that he can take us through that situation, that trial, that test. And how beautiful that is. There's no other reassurance from anyone like that. And he reassures us in verse 3 that he is the Lord, our God, the Holy One of Israel. And again, the word Savior, Hoshua. And then, oh my, he loved his people so much that he gave Egypt for thy ransom. He mentions Ethiopia and Seba for thee. And I'll tell you what, the children of Israel left Egypt. They spoiled it. God opened up their treasures, so to speak, and they gave to the Israelites whatever they had need of. Because, yes, they were the people of God, and God was giving them favor. And, you know, likewise, God knows how to provide for us as his children likewise, and to give us the things that we have need of. And he says, since thou wast precious in my sight, and thank God, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. God going before us, giving us direction and need and moving things around for our benefit and for our favor because of his great love for us and the esteem that he has for his people. Well, I'll tell you what, we are blessed to know the living God, a God, the Creator, you know, the one that knows the end from the beginning, the God that can do all things. And, you know, He knows how to make a way, how to shift things around, how to turn things completely the other way. Oh, praise the Lord, there's nothing to fear. And again, He says it in verse 5, fear not. And again, for I am with thee. And then He's talking to those Israelites at that point, I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. I'll tell you what, at the voice of the Lord, these things happen. God knows how to bring forth. And He did that for the children of Israel. When it was time for them to leave their captivity, it was time for them to leave Babylon, He said, give up to the north. Oh yes, to the south. Keep not back. Wherever they had gone, bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Oh yes, God's call, God's drawing, God's direction. But I'll tell you what, there's that time when He's going to call us all together. You know, the 13th chapter of Luke deals with that. Luke 13, and a couple little verses there in that 13th chapter of Luke. Verse 29. It tells us here, and they shall come from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Then He says, and behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Oh, I'll tell you what, when it's time for God to call us home, when it's time for Him to gather His elect, He's going to call, you know, from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south. We're going to sit down in the kingdom of God. It's going to be over. Yes, He's going to put in the sickle. He's going to reap this earth when it's finished. We're all going to be gathered unto the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And nothing will hold us back. Nothing will keep us. The Lord will make it happen. Oh, yes. He knows how, and He will do so. And then He explains in verse 7 here in Isaiah 43, even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Praise the Lord. He calls us. And then it tells us, yes, we're made. We're made to glorify Him. He created us so that we would be His own peculiar treasure. Oh, yes, that chosen generation, that royal priesthood, that holy nation, that peculiar people that are called forth. Oh yes, from the ends of the world, from all over, from the north, from the south, from the east and the west. Oh yes, those that have God has called, those of us who are not a people, but are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy. Oh yes, by His grace and His goodness to us. Oh, yes, everyone that is called by my name. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We've embraced His name. We've called upon His name. We've taken His name in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins. And now we are called by His name, His chosen people, His royal priesthood, His holy nation, His peculiar people. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, He us from the foundation of the world. He formed us. He made us that we would give Him glory, that we'd give Him praise, that we'd be, you know, a treasure unto Him. Then to verse 8, He's crying, bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is true. I'll tell you what, He's calling that those blind people that have eyes and those deaf that have ears, let them come forth. Let them come forth. And we were all blind in our ignorance and in our sin, in our trespasses and all of that. We were deaf at one point, and deaf to the, you know, the voice of God. But praise the Lord, He had given us eyes that can see and discern the spiritual reality. He gave us ears that could hear, thank the Lord, so that we could turn from our sinful, disobedient willfulness and serve the living God. Praise the Lord. And then He says in verse 9, let all the nations be gathered. And oh, I believe He's talking about this end time. Let all the nations be gathered together. Let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Oh, that moment, you know, when it's going to be so telltale. Oh, in that moment when, you know, we're going to know who is the Lord and who is not the Lord. It's going to be so apparent at that moment. You know, when He calls forth and, okay, is this my child? Is that my child? Oh my, is the evidence there? And I'll tell you what, we want to have that witness that we are the children of God. We want that verification that we belong to the Lord. Well, we have a little interference, don't we? And just turning here for a moment to 1 John, the 5th chapter, it talks about some witnesses. Praise the Lord. And you know, at that time of the judgment, it's going to be so important. Oh, praise the Lord. I think it's over. That noise. Yes, thank God. It's going to be so important at that moment that the witnesses bear record that we are the children of God. Here in 1 John, the 5th chapter, looking at verse 5 to start here. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And you know, that is so clear. You know, Jesus told the Jews very clearly in the 8th chapter, I believe, of the book of John, that you believe that I am He. You shall die in your sins. I mean, there is no other way than Jesus Christ. He is the truth, the life, and the way. And no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. There is no other way. So it declares here in verse 5, 1 John, the 5th chapter, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Oh yes, God manifested in the flesh, come to this world. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. Oh, He put on that human form, didn't He? Oh, He sure did. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. And praise the Lord, yes, there was a Spirit of God that bore witness when Jesus was baptized. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. There was that voice that spoke at the transfiguration. Again, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him. Praise the Lord. And praise the Lord. There is a voice that speaks forth when He fills us with the Holy Ghost. That bears witness that we are His children. But praise the Lord. It says in verse 7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And now, it's talking about three different ways that God is manifested. It doesn't say there are three persons that bear witness in heaven, or that bear record in heaven. It doesn't say that at all. But God manifests Himself in three different ways. As the Creator, as the Father, as the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory is the only begotten of the Father. Oh, the Word that was in the beginning and put on flesh to come to this world to take care of our sins, praise the Lord. And the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God that came back to indwell His people. Praise the Lord. But those are the three manifestations of God, and they bear record in heaven. Those three are one. You can't take them apart. It's all one. God doing His mighty work as the eternal Spirit of God and manifesting Himself as needed for the moment and for the time, the things that were necessary. Praise the Lord. And then it explains in verse 8, and there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. And I think that's a very interesting verse, because I praise the Lord that, you know, there are those witnesses that are born within us that bear witness that we are the children of God. Praise the Lord. The Spirit, the Holy Ghost that comes and indwells. Yes, when that Spirit comes, oh, we cry, Abba, Father. It bears witness that we are the children of God. That water, oh, yes, when we went down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, it was bearing witness, again, that we are the children of God. And when we came to Jesus in repentance, that blood bears witness that we are the children of God. Those three all agree together, verifying that we are God's children. Oh, and how precious it is. Those are important. We need those witnesses in our life. And here in Isaiah 43, it talks about the need to bring forth witnesses. Oh, when all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give account for the deeds that are done in the body, there when all the nations, all the people, all kindreds, all people that have ever lived and existed in this world are gathered together there, there's going to be a need to bring forth witnesses. Oh, we're going to need those witnesses at that time. Oh, yes, we're going to need the agreement of the blood, the water, and of the Spirit that we are the children of God. It says, let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say, it is true. You know, we're either going to be on the right hand or we're going to be on the left. We stand before God. We're either going to be a sheep or we're going to be a goat. You know, there's going to be no in-betweens. You know, it's black or white. There's no gray matter at all. And praise the Lord. I thank God for that blood that bears witness that we are His child. Oh, the Holy Ghost that bears witness that we belong to God and that we've been born again. Yes, of the water that bears witness. Oh, yes, that those sins have been remitted. Oh, praise the Lord. It's going to be so important at that moment. Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. And then it explains in verse 10, it says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Oh, thank God for that knowledge. It's so clear here. Oh, yes, and it's written. So, you know, we have this knowledge. We are witnesses of this truth. And praise the Lord that we may know and believe and understand that He is. That He is God. That Jesus Christ was manifest in the flesh, that He came to this world to bear witness. Oh, yes, to bring us to the light, to bring us to salvation. Oh, what a wonderful gift we have been given. Praise the Lord. And, you know, it's just so clear. Again, like, you know, Jesus told those Jews, except that you believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. That was, you know, that was very pivotal. It was very essential that they see and understand who Jesus was. He wasn't just the son of Joseph. He wasn't just, you know, a Jew man born there, you know, at that time. But He was the Son of God. He was the one. He was the Messiah, the one that had been ordained from the foundation of the world. He was God robed in flesh. And here it tells us, yes, before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. And it explains again in verse 11, I, even I, am the Lord. And beside me there is no Savior. You know, the precious revelations that God gives His people. I think of that moment there in Matthew, the 16th chapter, when Jesus there, He was in the coast of Caesarea Philippi, it tells us in verse 13, Matthew 16, and He asked His disciples, those that were close to Him, those that were following Him, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And, you know, they answered what was typical. They said, some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and other Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. You know, that was the popular concept of who Jesus was. But Jesus asked in verse 15, He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And I love how Simon Peter knew it from within. God had revealed it to him. It says in verse 16, then Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Praise the Lord. It came by revelation. And it wasn't, you know, the common knowledge at all. Most of them didn't see and understand who Jesus was. But it was given to Simon Peter. I believe it was given, oh yes, to the others that followed him closely. But it comes by revelation. It wasn't flesh and blood that had revealed it to him. But it was the Spirit of God, the Father, which is in heaven, that had revealed that knowledge to Peter, Simon Peter, that he might know. I know it also indicates also in the 11th chapter of Matthew, when Jesus was praying, how it seems like, you know, in verse 25, Matthew 11, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, it's not earthly wisdom that brings us to Christ. You know, we don't have to have a degree. We don't have to go to a special school to know who Jesus is. But praise the Lord, it's down on our knees. It's, you know, in the Word of God, seeking it and searching it. And, oh, as, you know, the Lord begins to show Himself to us as individuals. But He's hidden those things from the wise and the prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Oh, yes, those of us who would come to Him as a young child. Oh, yes, you know, willing to humble ourselves and admit that we need Jesus Christ. And then it says, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Verse 27 says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. It comes by revelation, the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. And praise the Lord, what a wonderful thing when He has made it clear and we can see who He is, and we can know in our hearts, and we can believe and have understanding. Oh yes, I love how it's stated in the second chapter of Philippians. Verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Praise the Lord, God Almighty robed himself in flesh, made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Oh, coming to this world, God Almighty, robing himself in flesh, coming to this world to die. That's what it comes down to. He came to die for his people. And praise God for that wonderful thing. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh yes, that time of knowledge. Oh, when every knee is going to bow and acknowledge who Jesus Christ is. Oh, they're going to know him at that moment. Oh, yes, and their tongue is going to confess also that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, yes, they're going to know at that moment. Oh, thank God that we can prepare our hearts and get right. Oh, yes, before that end comes upon each and every individual that ever lived on this world. Yes, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But back here in Isaiah 43, verse 11 again, I, even I, am the Lord. And beside thee there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yes, they should have known. He's talking to old Israel there, and you know, when they were right, when they were walking with him, they knew that, you know, he was God Almighty, and there was none other. And therefore they were a witness also, saith the Lord, that I am God. And verse 13 says, yea, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who will let it? This is so positive here. You know, it's before there was even a day, I was, I am. You know, and he said, there is none that can deliver out of my hand. You know, I'm God, and I'm going to do exactly what I want to do, in other words, here. I will work, and who will let it? In other words, who will stop it? Oh, there isn't anybody who's going to stop God. Not anybody, any power, oh, any individual. Then verse 14 says, thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles, and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. See, that was God's declaration. When it was time for them to leave Babylon, they left. When it was time for him to judge Babylon, it was judged. It was God who made a way for the Israelites to pass across that Red Sea. Oh, yes, who made a path in the waters. Oh, yes, who brought the Egyptians down when they tried to pursue those chariots and the horses and the whole army and all their power. It was brought down by the decree of God so that they would lie down and not rise again. Extinct, over, quenched as tow. Oh, just broken as, you know, small pieces of flax or hemp that is used for another purpose. So verse 18 says, remember ye not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Oh, he's declaring a way of hope that was not yet known there in old Israel. The Lord declaring that he was going to do a new thing. That he was time to forget the former things. It was time to look towards the new things that were going to spring forth. Oh, that he was going to bring forth and even a way in the wilderness. Oh, in rivers in the desert. Oh, if we just glance over at the next chapter here in Isaiah, the 44th chapter, and look at that third verse. It says, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring." Oh, God declaring his ways. We just glance back at the 35th chapter of Isaiah. Oh, we see again these wonderful promises. Oh, this new way that God was going to bring forth, was going to spring forth. Isaiah 35, he begins to talk of it. Verse 4. "Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grassed with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Oh, praise the Lord. He made a highway for his people, just as he made us a path through the Red Sea, a highway through the Red Sea, so that the multitude of people, the children of Israel, could walk through that Red Sea on dry ground. Oh, yes, it's the same. He has made a spiritual highway for his people, a highway of holiness. Oh, that we can walk upon, that we can know, that we can follow the Lord as he is our shepherd, leading us through the wilderness, through the dry lands. Oh, yes, through the desert. Oh, all the trials of this world. Oh, the things that come up, all the unseen things and the happenstances. And oh, my, the confusion. All of those things, if there is this highway of holiness. And praise the Lord, it's not for the unclean. The unclean aren't going to know it. Oh, they're not going to walk over it. But it's going to be for those that are redeemed to walk thereon, that highway of holiness. Oh, praise the Lord that God has made for his people. If you will turn with me to John, the 7th chapter. Jesus was declaring it. And oh yes, he was declaring it to the woman at the well. There is Samaria. Oh yes, you know, when he asked her for water. And you know, then he offered to give her water. And she could understand, you know, he had nothing, you know, to dip down into the well and get wet, get water. But oh, he was talking about some. Oh, water that would quench the spiritual hunger, the spiritual thirst within our very being. Oh, yes, water, that living water that would lead to everlasting life. He was telling that woman of that water. And here in the 7th chapter of John, Jesus is also declaring it. verse 37, John, the 7th chapter, says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then it explains, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But praise the Lord, it came to pass. Oh, yes, on the day of Pentecost. Oh, yes, as we were all gathered together in one place, in one accord. And oh, yes, as they were seeking, as they were meditating upon the things of God. Oh, we know that suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there, the second chapter of Acts, day of Pentecost, there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Oh, praise the Lord. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, that was a living water that Jesus was declaring there in the 7th chapter of John. Oh, yes. For those that are thirst. Oh, those that want to drink of that spiritual water. Oh, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And praise the Lord. At that moment, I don't suppose they could understand what he was saying, because he was foretelling of the Holy Ghost that would soon fall. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. He had not yet ascended into the heavens. He was not yet glorified, so the Holy Ghost could not fall. For we know that on the cross, Jesus gave up the ghost, didn't he? Oh, that spirit of life that was within him, he gave it up. But praise the Lord, he was not going to leave us comfortless. No, he was going to come unto us. Oh, yes, he had been with those that were alive at that time when he walked this earth. But he was going to come back as the Holy Ghost. And then he was going to be in his people, in their very beings. He was going to send forth his Spirit back. Oh, yes, so that they might have that indwelling Spirit working within the very being. Praise the Lord that, oh yes, they might be on that highway of holiness. And know, yes, this is the way, walking in it. When you go to the right hand, when you go to the left, that voice of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God, speaking to our heart, to our very being, so that we can know and understand and perceive the things of God. And we can walk down that road and know that He is with us. Know that He indwells within us. Oh, what a beautiful thing. Yes, they couldn't have understood these prophetic utterances here in Isaiah's time. But he was declaring it. Oh, yes. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Oh, yes. He led them out of Egypt with either that pillar of cloud by day and that pillar of fire by night. That's how he led them. When that, you know, that pillar would stop, they would stop. When it would go, they would go. And so he would lead them moment by moment according to his plan and his purpose. But now he's put something within our being, the Holy Ghost, so that we might walk with Him. We might be led by Him. We might be His sons and daughters. We might know the way and walk therein. And praise the Lord, this was a new thing that He was describing here in Isaiah 43. Oh, it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So no matter what we're going through in this world, we can know the way. He's leading us. He's showing us, you know, gently, one moment at a time. But he's leading to that other place. Oh, that place that is beyond us. That place where our heart is and our hope is. He goes on to say in verse 20, the beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. Yes, again, those living waters that he was going to bring forth so that we could drink of those waters, of the living waters. Oh, that well that never goes dry. Oh, that water that he was speaking of when he talked to the Samaritan woman in John, the 4th chapter. Oh, yes, to give drink to my people, my chosen. And then he says in verse 21, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that praise that he puts within our hearts. That song of praise, that song of worship. Oh, it's no wonder in the 12th chapter of Isaiah, it was proclaimed, oh, and in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thy anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Praise the Lord. And yes, that name Jesus is the same as Hoshua or Joshua. It means salvation. Oh, yes, he also is become my Jesus, my salvation, my Hoshua. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the well of salvation. Yes, that well of salvation, that water that is so deep that we can drink and drink and drink. And there's always more. We can be partakers of his salvation. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, never thirst again for the mammon of this world, because he has given us something that quenches that carnal thirst. Oh, that quenches it so that we can obtain eternal life. Oh, that well of salvation that he has provided for his people. And then he says in this fourth verse of the 12th chapter of Isaiah, and in that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. And then verse 6, cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Praise the Lord. Our God, he has given us, oh, something to sing about. Oh, something to rejoice in. Oh, something to praise him. Oh, that praise that wells up in our heart now and for all eternity. So we can praise his name. We can call upon his name. We can declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Oh, there is a reason we should cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, the sons and daughters of our great King, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Oh, praise the Lord, our God has done so much. But he said there again in this 43rd chapter of Isaiah, this people here have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Praise the Lord. But I'll tell you what, there is something else in accord with those wells of living water that he has given us. In Acts, the first chapter, in verse 8, Jesus told those that were with him before he ascended, he said, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He was declaring that he was going to give power, dynamite, to his people, that they would be witnesses. Oh yes, that they could bear witness of the Savior, that they could bear witness of the truth. And I believe that he puts it deep within us, that need to witness, to go out there as a light in this world. It is so dark and it's so full of sin. Oh yes, and the people are perishing on every side. But yet, if he has come into our lives, he has given us a power to witness. Oh yes, to show forth his marvelous works. And I'll tell you what, it's time. It's time for us to come alive in the world, to bear witness of the light, to shine as a light in this world that is so far, so full of darkness. People that are struggling, people who don't have answers, people who are living in confusion, people who are believing in this and in that and everything else. And who knows, who may yet come to the light. Oh yes, if we only stand there and bear witness. I'm going to go to the 14th chapter of the book of Luke here for a little bit. Luke 14. And looking at the 15th verse, it says, "And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." And this is how Jesus replied in verse 16. "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready." And it tells us in verse 18, "And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Well, perhaps these excuses seem legitimate to the people who were making them. Perhaps they thought it was adequate. But did the Lord of the Supper think that it was adequate? Did God think that it was adequate? Were they going to be excused because, you know, they bought some ground and they needed to go see it? Was that reasonable? It seemed like it was to them, obviously. You know, they bought 5 yoke of oxen and they had to go prove them. Were they going to be excused for that? You know, the one that said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. Was God going to excuse them for that? Well, I'll tell you what, excuses are so easy. Oh, they just come out at times, you know. We come up with this and that, but is it good as advice? What does God think? You know, I have to ask this because, you know, so often people make excuse. But I fear that God did not think those excuses were adequate. In fact, excuses are really only for the person that makes it. And it tells us in verse 21. "So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and maimed and the halt and the blind. And so they did it." Yes, because they had invited these people that, you know, they had thought were proper to come, but they all with one consent made excuse. And so the master of the house, he was angry, it says. He was angry, and he said to his servants, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind, those that were poor, and those that, you know, had some, you know, they were maimed somehow, and imperfect in that respect, and those that were halt, couldn't walk properly, and was blind, you know, those kind of people." And the servant said, "Lord, it is done, as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room." And the Lord said unto the servant, "Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." Oh, I'll tell you, this speaks. Oh, the Lord has a harvest. Oh, yes, and it's going to be reaped one of these moments. It's going to be over one of these moments. As he tells us in the 14th chapter of Revelation, there is that moment when, you know, you could put in the sickle to reap this earth. And when is it going to happen? Well, I'll tell you, if we look at James, the 5th chapter, we'll know when it's going to happen. It tells us in James, the 5th chapter, verse 7, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain." Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Oh yes, the Lord, as the husbandman, he's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. Oh, when that harvest is complete, when it is full. Oh yes, when it is all brought in. Oh yes, then it's going to be over. And he's going to come and not tarry. It's going to be over. And we don't know the day or the hour. Turning quickly here to the 4th chapter of Mark. Verse 26. Jesus was telling this parable. And he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." So what is this telling us? Yes, he's comparing the kingdom of God to a man that cast in seed into the ground. And, you know, he waits, you know, rising night and day to, you know, watch the seed and nourish it, that it should spring and grow up. And he doesn't, you know all the house and all of this, but he's waiting for it to ripen, so we could gather the fruit of it. And, you know, he says the earth begins to bring it forth. You know, first the blade, and then, you know, the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. And so it tells us when that fruit is brought forth, immediately then, that farmer who is watching, that gardener is going to reap the harvest when it's ripe. When it's just to that point, he's going to reap the harvest. And likewise it is with the Lord. When it is time, when, you know, he's gathered in, when his people are all gathered together, when they've come in, when the body of Christ is complete, the Lord is going to put in the sickle and reap this earth. It's going to be over just like that. It says immediately he put in the sickle and gathereth forth that fruit of the earth. And here in this story here in Luke, oh yes, you know, those that were bidden to that supper, that great feast that had been prepared. Those that were bidden, they just missed out, didn't they? They were not worthy. They put it off. They didn't see it as necessary to make haste and go forth and come to the supper. It was ready. They had been invited. They should have come, but instead, no, they had excuses. So none of them were going to taste of my supper. Yet, see, it had to be full. It had to be complete. The harvest was not quite there. You know, his house had to be full. He had expectation of said many guests. And yes, it had to be. So they were told to go out into the streets and lanes of the city to bring forth those, the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. They did. To gather those individuals together. And still there was room. See, it had to be full. It had to be complete. And so it is. The Lord is waiting. He had long patience till he received the early and the latter rain. The Lord said unto his servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Oh, for I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Well, I tell you what, the Lord has called us forth for a plan and a purpose. And one of these days, it's going to be too late to bear witness. But the Lord has put it upon us. He is long-suffering. And it is His will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you know, it's for whosoever will, and come and drink of the waters of life freely. Whosoever will, whosoever will come unto me, let him come. And I praise the Lord because that door of salvation is still open. We can still come to the living God. Oh, we can still draw upon those waters. Oh, those living waters that He has provided for His people. Oh, I tell you what, but He has made us. He gave us power, therefore. He filled us with His Spirit so that we could be a witness in this world, so we could go forth and do His work. And, you know, sometimes, oh, we think, oh, well, not that person, Lord. They they'll never listen. You know, they could care less. You know, we don't know. I've talked to some people that seem like very unlikely candidates. And sometimes I just marvel, so full of tattoos and everything else. And you think, oh my, how could God ever reach out and save them? But you don't know, you know, there in that 14th chapter of Luke, you know, they were told to get those that were halt, that were maimed, that were blind. Oh yes, to gather them in, to bring them in. You don't know who the Lord is going to call. And as it tells us in Mark, the 16th chapter, oh yes, as Jesus was giving this great commission to those that were with Him before He ascended into heaven, He said in verse 15 here, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Oh, praise the Lord. That's the commission that He has brought forth, that He has told His people to go forth as a light to this world. Going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. Knowing, yes, I pray some don't have the eyes to see and the mind to perceive, but you know, there's got to be some. You know, His house has to be full. You know, so you've got to go out. First of all, He went into the streets of the city there. That 14th chapter of Luke, then He told them, to go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. Somehow to compel them to come in that my house may be full. Oh, I'll tell you what, it is incumbent upon us to go forth as a witness, as a light in this world. We were told in that 43rd chapter of Isaiah that we are His witnesses. And He gave us of His Spirit so that, oh yes, we might have that power to witness, to go forth. Oh my, sometimes you might wonder, you know, what shall I say? Oh, and what shall I do? But, you know, there's just something about it. You know, there's that little verse in the Psalms, Psalms 81, verse 10, where it tells us, I'm the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth, and I will fill it. You know, there's just something about it. You know, the Lord, you know, I mean, sometimes it might seem a little awkward and strange, but something about it, you know, you just start doing it. Just start doing it. And the Lord knows how to give you words. I don't know. And it grows, too. That ability, it just grows. You know, you start to marvel after a while. You know, you can invite them to church. You can hand them a tract. You know, you can tell them that Jesus loves them. We've all got our own way. But if we're God's children, oh, yes, we are also His witness. And we need to go forth. His house needs to be full. He's going to gather in the harvest one of these days, and it's going to be over. But right now, it's still in the making. There's still people out there. You know, if it was over, we would not be sitting here tonight. You would not be listening online tonight if it was over. But we still have these moments. And the need is upon us. It's incumbent upon us to go up forth as witnesses in this world that is lost and dying. Oh, I'll tell you what, the New Testament church did it. Those last two verses in Mark 16. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Oh, praise the Lord. Go on and do it. The Lord will confirm His word with signs following. Oh, God, help us to go forth and preach everywhere, knowing that the Lord will be with His people, that He is there making a way, you know, making a way in that highway of holiness so that we can not only walk in the way that is right and true, oh, we can also be a witness in this world, oh, that so desperately needs the living Savior. Praise the Lord, we can be a witness in this world, for He has told us, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Praise the Lord, ye shall receive power, that power to be a witness, and ye shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Praise the Lord. That's our God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. The zeal of the Lord of hosts. Amen. That puts it within us to bear witness of the light. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. We are going to open our melodies of praise hymnals. tonight and turn to number 241 and sing Whosoever Will, number 241.
Dismissed on the prayer in Jesus' name.